1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14 is where we'll start. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So the final picture, you know, we got a busy stage up here. We're more and more things every week. We'll clear this next week. It'll be okay. But we looked at how we're many stones into one house, how we're many branches into one plant, how we're many people into one family. And today, you bring the analogy with you. The analogy is a physical body. That's the picture. Many parts of our physical body, and yet one body. You know, the body is composed of over 5,000 different parts. Your body, 5,000 different parts in it. And we're going to talk about eyes and ears, and we're going to talk about noses, and we're going to talk about hands and feet, because God goes there in this text. But we have to remember that as different as we are, and as unique as we are, as different parts, we still compose one body in Christ. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you today, and our hearts are grateful and thankful for what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for all the blessings in our life. God, again, our hearts do go out to the folks in Oklahoma. Father, as that continues to be a storm and tornado ravaged area, we pray that your grace and your blessing would be down there. Lord, we thank you for the reports of your church coming alongside. We pray that would continue. God, I just ask that you would help us to remember to lift those folks up in prayer, because their lives are changing and have been changed forever, God, because of this. And so be with them in a special way. Father, I also ask and pray that you would be with us now, that you would open your word to us, that again, these would very clearly be your words, not mine. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to us. We need that. We're really asking desperately that your Spirit would speak to the place of our heart that you can get to. And so, God, we're going to look to you for that, trust you for that. We're going to give you praise and glory for who you are today. We thank you so much. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read through this text in 1 Corinthians 12. I think it's a fun text. It has some fun analogies. We'll go there a little bit. But it also has some pretty serious application to the body being one. And we're going to talk about that as well. What we're going to do first is look at a couple of common, very normal feelings that we may have as we begin to interact with one another in the body. The first emotion, if you're filling in the blanks, here's your first thing you can fill in on your sermon notes. The first emotion or feeling we may have is we may feel less than other parts. We may feel less than. As we look around and as we begin to interact with other people in the body, we may have this feeling that we are less than other people in the body. Let's read verse 15. 2 Corinthians 12, 15. And he's going to talk about the foot. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Okay, now let's talk about feet and hands. The foot is saying to the hand. Now, feet and hands are very similar. In fact, they're both. You have two of both of them. We have five little phalanges that come off of each of these. And I've even sometimes seen people who make their foot do things that only a hand should do. Have you seen people try to grab things with their foot and pick things up? Yeah, I have a relative of mine that loves to do that. And sometimes, you know, a foot could get a little bit jealous, maybe, of a hand. Or look at a hand and say, I'm not quite like that hand, because, you know, a foot is very clearly lower. It's similar to a hand, but it's lower than a hand. It's less prominent. It can't really pick things up quite as well as a hand can. You know, it's not as seen. A lot of times we cover our feet up, and so it's not as seen maybe as a hand. It's not in his place of prominence. Maybe it's not as pretty. And I know that's the case for me. My feet are not pretty, and not that my hands are, but my, you know, and maybe feet, you know, they're hard working. And so maybe they don't smell quite, you know? And maybe the foot would look at the hand and say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. You know, many times our struggles with people are because maybe we're similar, but we don't feel as significant. We're close to another person, but when we look at us versus them and we start comparing, we think, you know what, they're above me. They're maybe more significant than me. You know, I'm similar maybe in some ways, but I'm different, and I'm not different in maybe a good way. You know, do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel less significant than someone else? Do you ever feel maybe like you're a little lower, a little bit less than somebody else in the body? Do you ever feel like the job that you're doing, you're just sort of getting walked on? You know, do you think a foot could ever feel that? Like maybe they're getting walked on, like they're not appreciated like a hand would be? You ever feel taken advantage of in the body? Do you ever feel that? Like maybe other people aren't taken advantage of like you are? You know, you may not feel like you have a part, but very clearly says that you're not any less. You're not any less a part of the body than these other parts. You're just as significant. Let's go on to verse 16. We can feel that way, though. Now he's going to talk about two other body parts. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Again, these two parts are very similar. These are both senses. Both of these, the eyes and the ears, both sense things, but they're different ones. You know, I had to think about this. If I had to choose one of these two senses, either my eyesight or my hearing, which one would I choose? My eyesight. I'm with you. If I had to lose one, I'd lose my hearing if that was forced upon me in some weird way. You know, again, maybe the ear would think, I know that I'm less preferred than other people here. Maybe I'm not as preferred as other people in the body. I'm a little less than. You know, do you ever feel less preferred? Do you ever feel less important? Do you ever feel like maybe your part, if somebody had to choose, like if somebody had to choose, would they maybe not choose you? Would they maybe choose somebody else that seems a little bit more important or a little more? Do you ever feel that way? You know, we can feel that way at times. Less preferred, less important. You know, if somebody had to choose, maybe they wouldn't even notice if I was gone. You know, do you ever feel that way? That's what he's getting at. You know, you got to remember, just because you're an ear compared to an eye doesn't make you any less a part of the body. You're just as important. He's going to get at something in the next verse. Let's read verse 17. You know, and he's going to get at something silly, but we have to think about this. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Okay, just think about this physically for a second. If the whole body were an eye, so you had eyes here, eyes here, eyes here, eyes here, eyes here. What if you had eyes all over the... What a ridiculous body that would be. Wouldn't that be a stupid-looking body? And what a useless body. The body couldn't hear anything. It'd be seeing all over the place. Eyes in the back of my head. But what would that be? You'd have no hands to go and get anything. You'd have no feet to go and walk anywhere. You know, but sometimes as an ear, you can think, boy, I'm not an eye. I don't have this gift. I'm not in this position. I haven't risen to this level of leadership. Therefore, I'm not a part of the body. But think about how ridiculous. If the whole body were one part, how lame would that body be? It'd be pretty bad. And if the whole body, and I love this next part. this next part really makes me laugh. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Now he's going to go back to that verse 17. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Now he's going to talk to the ear for a little bit. And he's going to say, you know what, ear, think about this for a second. How about the nose? Now, if you had to lose either your hearing or your smell, which one would you lose? You'd lose your smell, wouldn't you? Because the smell can be both positive and negative. That can go both ways at times. But what he's saying is, you know what, ear? You may not realize this, but you may be more preferred than someone else. You know, I know right now you're looking at the eye, but maybe ear, maybe there's a nose around the corner. And maybe you are more preferred, but maybe I need to just give you a different perspective. I was speaking at a camp one time, and I was sharing about, I think I was feeling like an ear. And I was sharing, just kind of getting gut-level honest about this pastor who was a friend of mine. And this pastor, I felt like this pastor in every way was better than me. I mean, he was bigger, he was more beautiful, he was more perfect, he was more charismatic, he had more people sort of, he was, do you know what I'm saying by that? Do you ever feel that way? Like similar, but different and better and preferred. And I was feeling like, and so I sort of shared this, kind of just sort of got vulnerable and like shared, man, I feel like this guy and I don't know what to do. And he's just better than me in every way. And I got done with that sort of talk and the camp director came to me and he was kind of smiling. And he said, Mark, you know what? I've always felt that way about you. And God was saying, you know what, Mr. Ear? Where would be the sense of smell? You know, sometimes we think we're less preferred, but we're not. We're not. We're all important. We're all key. But do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel less than in the body? I have. I've felt less than. He's going to answer that feeling of less than in verse 18. Look at verse 18, wonderful verse. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. You see, here's what's happening. God is taking and putting this body together in the perfect way that he wants it. In his divine wisdom, he's saying, you know, and you may be an ear, or you may be a nose, or you may be an eye. And he's saying, you know what, I want this right here. This is exactly where I want it. And if the whole body were one, this would be a ridiculous, ineffective, non-fruitful body. But as it is, God is saying, no, I'm putting these pieces together just the way I want them. And trust me, whether you feel like an eye, an ear, or a nose, you're important. And you're vital. And you are needed. So if you ever feel less than, Just understand that God put you right here in this place for this time to be a part of this body because he's given you certain gifts and skills and abilities to bring the body together in full and to make the body work as the body was meant to work. God arranged it. Maybe he made you a nose. You know, and noses are interesting because noses can smell some of the most beautiful things. Noses bring incredible pleasure when something smells very good and aromatic. And a nose is something that God must have because he loves the incense. And then we read about that in the Old Testament that just wafted up to the Lord. And so a nose is very key because it brings beauty and savor and wonder to life. But at the same time, a nose can tell when something stinks. And there's some people within the body that are able to do that. They can tell when something doesn't smell quite right. And we need those gifts to tell us, you know, you ever open your refrigerator and you're like, whoa, something is not right in there. Something is really not right in there. What if you didn't have a nose? You'd have a biology, chemistry experiment just growing. We need all of the parts, right? All of the parts working together. Verses 19 and 20, this is a sort of a transition piece here. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts and yet one body. Please, if you're here this morning and you feel in any way less than, don't let that thought come into your mind. You're not less than. You're not. You are as important, as significant as any and every other member of this body. Amen? Let's look at the other emotion that we may have coming into the body. This is a different one, but it's very important as well. The next emotion is we can feel greater than other parts. Sometimes maybe we don't feel less than, but we can feel a little bit greater than other parts. He's going to talk about a different tendency now. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This is a different tendency. This is the tendency to feel greater than. Now what do we have? Now we have two prominent parts, the eye and the head, feeling that they're pretty important. The eye and the head can feel pretty self-sufficient. They can feel sort of like, I must be the reason that the body is as it is. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I am an eye and I am the head. Well, no, in this analogy, who's the head? Christ is the head, but we can sometimes feel like the head or feel like that. I can very clearly see what needs to be seen. I am a visionary. I can see. I'm an eye. I can see that. I can very clearly think because I am the head. So this body must be effective and be doing well because I am a part of it. Therefore, I am very significant. Two different tendencies that can happen. And unfortunately, I can relate to both of these. Pride and independence. Pride and independence. This isn't the first time I've shared. I struggle with both of these. And when you have positions of leadership or prominence, you can struggle here. You can struggle being prideful. You can struggle thinking, you know what? No, I think maybe I am a little greater part of this than maybe some of the other parts. Maybe I can be a little bit independent. There's a natural tendency in certain positions, and especially positions of leadership, to think greater than. Verse 22, God doesn't take long to answer this wrong tendency. Verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Okay, big important parts, don't be thinking you're all that. Okay, positions of leadership, don't be taking the position that you're better than, that you're greater than. Okay, high and mighty, don't be high and mighty. These other parts are indispensable. Can I get an amen on that? We need the weaker, the lesser, the positions that some people would put low. We need, they are indispensable. Everyone knows you need a head, but that's not all you need. Everyone knows you need eyes, but that's not all you need. And you know what? You can get along okay in life without some of those things. Now, when everything is going fine, Mr. I might think things are good. When everything is fine, the I might be very clearly able to see vision and see future. But just this morning, my daughter Tirza got an eyelash in her eye. Guess what happened? The eye didn't take care of itself so well then, did it? Remember what that verse said? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Well, this morning, that hand came in pretty handy in helping out the eye. I will tell you this, whether you are in leadership or otherwise, when things don't go so well, and when you are hurting, and when things aren't going as you think they maybe should go or could go, you need the other parts of the body. We need each other. We help each other. We support each other. We are one, one body in Christ. Verse 23. God's not going to stop with the leaders, by the way. He's going to kind of keep on going here. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. Listen to this. God gives greater honor to the less honorable parts. And that word honor literally means value or price. God has greater honor, greater value in your humble acts of service on a regular basis that get unnoticed than on my preaching and teaching. I didn't say that, God did. God is giving greater honor to the things that we do day in, day out on a regular basis that go unseen than on what I do in a very prominent way on Sunday mornings. God is giving greater honor to those parts. So please don't ever think, please don't ever think your part isn't significant or it isn't important. If you're playing your part, then it's incredibly significant. And in fact, it's more. Doesn't mean that what I do and what we do in leadership isn't important. He's not saying that. But he's giving greater honor, more value to those parts that lacked it. More value. Second half of verse 24. Again, he's going to say the same thing again. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. God arranged the body. He's the arranger. He's doing the work, and he's giving the greatest honor to the most humble parts, to the most modest parts. He's giving the greatest honor there. If you ever think you're greater than, if you ever come in with a little bit of pride or independence, fight that tendency. I fight that tendency. I know that we need each other. Now let's look at our results. What are the results of this? If the body fights these tendencies, if anybody doesn't feel less than, if anybody doesn't feel greater than, what are the results of a body that's working together as one? Here's the results, verse 25. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. No division. Let's say that together as one. No division. Let's say that again. One more time. Now with some passion. No division. Do you hear that? No division. No splits. No broken parts. No division. God's heart is that we would be one. That we would be one body in Christ. Just like this is one physical body with many members. We are many members, but we are one. We are one body. And how does that look? What does that look like? How do we show that? That we have the same care, the same concern, the same love poured out on one another. That we actually care for each other. That we actually spend time finding out how each other is doing. That we actually send out emails when somebody's hurting. That we actually make a phone call and say, you know what, I know you've been having a tough time. Anything I can do more so than pray? Can we go out for coffee and talk? How can I help you? How can I show concern for you? How can we do that? When the body works as one, same care, same concern happens. Listen to this. When we're divided, we don't, won't, and perhaps can't really love each other. When we are divided up as a body, we don't, won't, and I don't think we can't love each other as we're supposed to. And when that happens, when the body is split, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, I haven't thought about it a lot. When the body is split, we lose. We lose. I lose. When I am a part of division in the body, I lose. When I'm not striving, eager to maintain the unity of the body of Christ, when I am not working, pushing, pursuing oneness, I lose. When I am having feelings of pride and independence, I lose. When I seek to be my own island, I lose. When I want to just go off and not be integrated and connected like living stones, like branches, or like a family, I lose. I lose. We fight for it. We fight for it because it brings God glory and it actually brings something very positive into our life. Verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now this care, this suffering together, rejoicing together, this applies individually so that when somebody's hurting or when somebody's celebrating, I join in that. I don't just live in my own world. I join in your celebration. I join in your pain. I join in that. Remember those stones were closely compacted, joined together. I join in your celebration and your pain. But this also relates across different ministry lines. This relates corporately. I was thinking about this. How about a little of this action for us? If the garden ministry is growing, I celebrate it even if I work in children's ministry. If the technical team back in the booth needs workers, I care for them and I pray for them. And I keep my ears open for somebody that might fit for. Or how about this? When the Adoption Connection has a conference, here's how I phrase it. We have an adoption conference this weekend at Bayside. Even if you don't go. Even if we aren't a part of this, this is all us. When one of the members or one of the ministries is thriving, you celebrate, you rejoice with it. When the ministry maybe that you're involved with is struggling, you don't look at other parts and say, oh man, why am I not? Or why are they? Or why can't I? And why do they? Or when your ministry is thriving, you don't look down and you don't think you're greater than, you say, you know what? How can I help? How can I pray? How can I be concerned? This applies individually. And this applies to us as ministers. Now, I know that we're passionate about some of the areas that we serve in. And that's a good thing. But when we have oneness, we have the same care. And we rejoice when they rejoice. And we feel and hurt when they hurt. Verse 27. By the way, this is the fifth time he's going to confirm this. You are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Fifth time, one body, many members, all connected. We are in Christ. Please hear this. We are one body. We are one house. We are one plant. We are one family. We are one. We are one. You may be in one of these three places this morning. You may be feeling less than. In some way, you may be feeling less than others in this body. Please hear this, you're not. You are not. You are important, you are vital, you are needed. For the working, the efficient and effective working of this body, you are needed. Your part is needed. God doesn't see you as any less. He does not see you. I don't care who you are not less than in this body. Christ died for you the same as he died for everyone. He died for you. Shed his blood for you. We're going to remember that in just a moment. Second thing, you may be feeling greater than. You're not. It's independent and prideful. We've got to watch that tendency. We've got to humble ourselves. We have to realize we are all important, but we're not greater than any other parts of this body. The third feeling you may be having is you may be feeling unsure if you fit or unsure where you fit. And that's a very common tendency as well. I want to encourage you with something. You do fit. You may not have found that place yet, but you do fit. We have some helpful things. Number one in your bulletin, and I'm going to ask everybody to grab this real quick. There's a yellow sheet inside your bulletin, and this is a sheet that is just a little tool to help you find your place of connection. There's nobody too old, there's nobody too young to find your part in the body. And I did say nobody too old because if you understand these words, nobody too young, if you understand these words, you're not too young. And if you understand these words, you're not too old. There's no barriers on this. This is a little tool that we can use to help get connected here in the body. I want to encourage you, if you don't feel like you're playing your part, or maybe you've been playing a part, but you think, I don't know if that's my part anymore. I want to encourage you, take some time and fill this out. And you can get that to Ruth McCotter. We have a staff person now who's the primary part of her job is now to help people connect at Bayside. So we have dedicated someone that is primarily what they do. Her contact information is on the bottom of these pink sermon notes, the bottom and the back, her email and her phone number, how you can get in touch with her. I want to encourage you to fill this out. Fill it out, put it in the connection box, get it to me, get it to someone. We are all a part of this body. We're going to prepare for something that I think is a wonderful picture of oneness, and that is communion. We're going to have a time of communion where we remember what Christ did, where we proclaim what he did, and I think this communion is a wonderful, beautiful picture of how we are one in Christ. And as we do that, I want to just prepare for that by reading some verses. And these verses are from John 17. These are right from the mouth of Jesus. These are hours before he would be crucified. And I want to read John 17, verses 20 to 24. Listen to what Jesus says about oneness, about unity, about the body of Christ coming together as one and the glory that he receives when we do. Jesus is going to spend some time in John 17 praying for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. And now the passage we're going to pick it up in verse 20 is him actually praying for us. Jesus spent time when he was on this earth, right before he was going to die, praying for you and I and for all believers. Verse 20, I do not ask for these only, Jesus says, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. We have believed on Christ through the word of the apostles of Christ. So he's now praying for us. And look at his first prayer, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Listen to this. Our oneness is our witness. Our oneness is our witness. Verse 22. Now he's going to talk about glory. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. Second time he says it in this short prayer. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Why? So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Our oneness is our witness. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. What are we saying? Unity is a very big deal to God. Our oneness is a very, very big deal to him. When we invite division, we are outside of God's will in his heart. When we are doing things that invite or cause division, we are outside of his will and his heart. Because our oneness is our witness. How we operate as one is a reflection and a witness to the world. God is glorified when we're one, so therefore he wants no division. No division. His blood on the cross, the blood that he shed on the cross, was poured out that we might be one in Christ. Let's pray as we prepare our hearts to receive communion. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, and we praise you, and we adore you, and we worship you. Lord, I thank you that you have paid the price that we could be one. God, we come from so many different places. We come from so many different backgrounds. We come from so many different situations and experiences in life. And yet, God, we are one. We are one body made up of many members. I pray that you would give us that heart, which is so much your heart. God, if there's any times that we feel less than, meet us there. If there's any times that we feel greater than, meet us there. Lord, if we are unsure of where we fit, or even questioning if we fit, meet us there. I pray that we would bring all of those attitudes, all of those feelings, all of those emotions, that we would bring them to the cross this morning. And that we would lay them down there, realizing that we are one in Christ. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, communion reflects this. We're going to pass out the elements, and then we're going to partake together. And I want to encourage you to wait until everybody's had theirs passed out. We're going to partake together as one in Christ. You know, the cups, they all look the same. That's intentional. We don't pass a common cup any longer. They used to do that. I think some of these were the common cups that they used back in the day. But we have one cup. The little pieces of matzah bread look very similar. If we could, they'd all come from one loaf. We are one in Christ. Communion reflects the oneness that we have. So whether you feel less than, greater than, or unsure, bring it to the cross. You don't have to be a member here to partake with us. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then join with us in partaking in communion and remembering his incredible sacrifice that he died on the cross to pay for our sin. And when we trust in that, when we rely upon that, when we say, Jesus, I was a sinner in need of a Savior, the Bible says you have eternal life. And if you haven't done that, you can do that this morning. You can trust in Jesus this morning and know that when you move from this life to the next, you're going to be with him for eternity. And if you've done that, then join us with communion. Join us in this way that we proclaim as one. Let's pray for the bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus. Father, again, we thank you. We thank you that you were willing to send your son. Jesus, we thank you that you offered your body on our behalf. We pray your blessing upon this time. May we evaluate if there's anything going on inside of us, any attitudes, any feelings, Lord, that need to be dealt with. Help us to do that now. Thank you again. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.